Hi, everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to a super, super duper duper special date with Dateline. Date with Dateline. Didn't even get it right.
Do you know it?
Okay. I don't know what our show is.
You'll be fine.
I get nervous. We're sitting next to the...
Well, wait. Let him introduce himself.
Oh, yeah.
Who do
we're
we have with us today?
We're sitting next to a special guest.
I guess if you watch this, I guess if you listen to this podcast regularly, you probably know who it is.
No introduction needed, yeah. Just the voice.
Yeah, this is probably one of the few podcasts where I don't have to introduce myself.
Also, surprise, everybody.
Yay, surprise. We have the Sir Mankey with the hanky, Sir Manx-a-Lot, Mank, the amazing Josh Mankiewicz is here with us and in person. And hi.
And we are all a Twitter. We're very excited.
I'm delighted to do this. My only question is how it took so long for me to be on a podcast called Date with Dateline.
I think it was 6 months of us being way too scared to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moms with Murder interviewed you and we thought maybe we could.
Yeah,
and then when we got to meet you at CrimeCon and you said, why haven't I been on your podcast sooner? And we thought, let's rectify that.
Yeah, well, that's good.
We have some questions about you, if you don't mind. People want to know.
Yes.
In a segment we're calling Getting to Know You.
What is the basis for saying that people want to know this?
Because I think, we want to know.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Should we just, Katie wants to know.
Okay, good. Katie wants to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just change the segment to that. Yeah. Katie wants to know.
Katie wants to know, yeah, because I don't think people want to know anything about me.
They do. The Twitter, we got a lot of questions.
Okay.
We let in a few of our Patreon, our paid subscribers, in on the fact that we were interviewing you when we got some questions.
Okay, good.
So an article recently referred to the way you talk as a droll purr or a growl if you're in shackles and he's not buying what you're selling.
I love that.
So you think that's accurate? And also, did you sound like this as a young boy?
I've always sounded like this. I remember that article because that was the article in BuzzFeed, which was just so wonderful about CrimeCon. And that's actually the nicest way my voice has ever been described. I love that.
It's really nice.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
When I was at another network, which I will not identify. I will just use their initials, ABC.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I can't crack that code.
Let's not go any further.
Crack that code.
This network, when I started there as a correspondent, which was in 1982, they sent me to... I'm thinking somewhere over $50,000 worth of voice coaching lessons with a really top voice coach in New York, named Lillian Wilder, who's done a lot of people on television and a lot of politicians too. But it wasn't just about training your voice; it was about how to speak and how to use your hands and how to stand and And the idea was to get me to talk like a radio DJ so that I could sound like pretty much nearly everyone else on television. And to do that, you had to speak from your diaphragm and you had to open your throat in a particular way. I tried very hard to do that because I was new. I was young. I wanted ABC to like me. But it didn't work. This was the voice I went in with and this was the voice I came out with. Sorry.
But it works better.
No, yeah,
now it's hilarious.
Better.
Now it's hilarious when people say, I recognize your voice.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So the social media team from Dateline, we asked them what we should get you to eat today.
Yes.
And they came back with, they've literally never seen you eat anything other than a steak.
Yeah, that's about right.
So do you have a favorite steakhouse?
I don't have a favorite steakhouse.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I shot a story years ago about how I went on the Atkins diet. I shot that at the Palm in Beverly Hills. This was back in 98, back before we were doing crime all the time.
Uh-huh.
I love the Palm, and here in L.A., the grill on the alley, and I went to the Dalray the other day in Pico Rivera. Taylor's in La Cañada and also in Koreatown. A lot of great places.
Because we talk a lot about Chili's on our podcast. I've never had a steak at Chili's.
It feels kind of disloyal to either... to not get, you know, a burger at Chili's.
Yeah, I feel like you're supposed to.
Well, we sort of get fascinated by the couples that go on the dates, and then they one of them gets murdered after, and they always seem to go to Chili's or Applebee's.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a little bit of a pattern.
Yeah, have you ever gone, do you know what a Sizzler is, or are sticking to the fancy places?
There's a lot of times where, I can tell you this, there's a lot of times when you're on the road, and, you know, a high-end restaurant is just kind of out of the question. Uh-huh. Of the sort of mid-range Chili's type places, in my mind, Chili's, Applebee's, what would be some of the other?
TGI Fridays,
those, yeah. The Texas Roadhouse.
I haven't been. I know what you're talking
far
about.
Far and away, the champion of that kind of restaurant. They have steaks. They have excellent steaks. I never miss a chance to go to a Texas Roadhouse when I'm on the road.
You heard it here first.
I've heard about this.
Our favorite topic is TV, obviously. We are so curious as to what you watch.
Okay.
For fun.
Right. All right. What do I watch? I'm obsessed with Animal Kingdom.
Oh.
Which is like a kind of a long Dateline episode.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, we would, I mean, like there's no way that we wouldn't be doing stories about that if those people were real and that had come out. So I watched that. What else am I watching? I'm watching Condor right now on, I think it's the Audience Network. And it's based on 3 Days of the Condor, which was a Robert Redford movie in the 70s, which was based on a novel before that. And it's about a guy who works in the CIA in a very sort of low-level analyst job, but who accidentally discovers something that causes people to get killed, and he gets framed for it and put on the run. That's the basis of the movie. It's also the basis of the TV show.
That sounds good. 3 Days of the Condor.
Quite good. That's cool. So I'm watching that. What else do I watch? I watch Ray Donovan. I love that. I love Bosch on Amazon Prime, and I would even if my cousin were not working there, because he just started working there last season. But that's based on the Michael Connelly character, and I'm a huge Michael Connelly fan, so I that's definitely one of my favorites. What else? I was addicted to The Good Wife on CBS until it finally ran its course, and now on CBS All Access, there's a thing called The Good Fight, which is many of the same characters, which I watched, which is wonderful. I just finished Goliath on Amazon Prime.
Did you like it?
Yeah, which is Billy Bob Thornton about.
Yeah, someone told me to watch it.
It's about Billy Bob Thornton plays here in LA a sort of alcoholic, down on his luck guy who at one time was a great criminal justice attorney and now kind of is like almost out of the game and sort of gets dragged back to take a case that he doesn't even really want to take.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And these are all smarty pants shows.
Yes.
Do you watch any junk TV? Have you heard of 90 Day Fiancé?
No.
So you watch nothing on TLC, Bravo.
I can't say that I do.
Real Housewives.
I don't watch any of the Real Housewives. Let's see. What do I watch that's...
Seinfeld reruns?
Utter crap. I watch Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Right? And I was very excited the other day because I went to a restaurant in which the guy who had been the maitre d' on Hell's Kitchen in some earlier seasons.
Which guy?
A guy named Marino.
Yeah.
Right? He was actually the manager at this restaurant. And I was like, I know you.
That's kind of exciting.
I watched you get angry at people screwing up scallops orders.
Yeah. Wait, have you not been to Hell's Kitchen?
No, I've never been to Hell's Kitchen. No. No, of course, I can't. I'm not allowed to be on anybody
else's. That's right, you're not allowed to. But they do sort of celebrity. They have celebrity guests.
I've heard, I would never be allowed to do that. But Dateline probably be fine with that, about me sort of promotionally appearing on there. But I'm guessing Fox probably would.
Oh, Fox, yeah.
Yeah. I do that. I also know that there are people that you get to be in the audience, get to be in the... I mean, in the restaurant and get fed. And
stuff. That's what I'm saying.
And they don't shoot you. There's some people who are sort of out of range.
There are, but I don't know if they get fed as well.
I think, but you might. Yeah, no, I definitely would be into that.
I don't know. Okay.
That's almost the only reality thing I watch.
Okay.
Is it? But that's a good one, though. Should we go really quick to talk about your hosts, talk about your fellow hosts?
I think we have to ask about the Hankies.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Who picks them out?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
How long have you been wearing the hankies?
Do you think we have money for a stylist?
I don't know. Yeah. I just, that's the question. I
drove
know.
Myself over here today. Oh. Yeah, I mean, no, no.
I actually did think about that. I was like, I wonder if he's in the car.
No, no, we don't have that kind of money. No, yeah, I pick them all. I started wearing them early 80s, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there an inspiration for it? Was there someone?
My friend Judd Rose, who was a correspondent at ABC, has passed away about almost 20 years ago, 2000. He was a very natty dresser, and he was the first guy to show me the coordinating your pocket square with your tie.
Yes.
Oops, sorry, I hit the microphone here. Yeah, okay. Judd was the first guy to show me sort of how to coordinate the pocket square with the color of the tie. And I remember that appealing to me. And so I did that for a while. And then for a long time, I just wore a white square and a white shirt. And then I started getting a little bit more adventurous. And then sort of in recent years, as I've been wearing less ties, then I sort of have more fun with pocket squares.
We've noticed.
But it's, you know, it's all, I mean, nobody at Dateline said, please wear
so
this.
So then are you picking them based on mood for the day? I'm feeling more blue, you wore a pink one for the pink gun mystery. Was that on purpose?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Maybe that was an homage. Maybe. I don't remember thinking to myself, oh, yeah, I have to wear pink for this. That's a good question. I don't remember whether I did that or not. You know, I shot those interviews so long ago in some cases because, you know, these cases take forever. I mean, the gap between my first interview with Katie and when the trial finally came and we finished it was a long time. It was more than a year.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Now, we imagine that you describe the colors of your hankies in fancy color terms.
Oh, correct. You mean like catalogs do?
Like burnt sienna or smoky chartreuse.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing my sunset flame today. And then it's, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, parenthetically, a friend of mine and I once spent a week only using catalog colors to describe actual colors.
No, you did not.
Yeah. So she said to me, something happened. She goes, oh, boy, was my face brick.
That's so good.
Yeah, I want to try that. That's so good.
We had a lot of fun working catalog colors. Are you feeling azure?
Yeah. That's so
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good. Happy. Yes,
I was ocean with envy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did that. It was fun.
Do you buy them anywhere, or do you have a favorite designer that you like?
First of all, I believe there's a rule in menswear that the tie is the highest profit item because it's just a piece of silk sort of stitched with a little lining. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that rule came along before people realized that pocket squares are even cheaper because they're nothing. They're just like a little piece of fabric, and you just roll the edge and stitch it. And the idea that some people charge $60, $70, $80, $90, or more than $100 for a pocket square, which I've seen, is outlandish. And I've seen some beautiful ones that I will not pay for.
Yep.
So I only buy extremely inexpensive ones. There's a...
And they all look the same. You would never be able to tell the price difference
on a little
thing.
Right.
No,
I mean, first of all, any men's store, you know, I mean, Brooks Brothers or Nordstrom, they'll sell you a box of white handkerchiefs, which are perfectly fine for not a lot of money. There's a website called pocketsquares.com, but it's with a Z, pocketsquares.com. They have a lot of them, and they're like, I don't know, like $14, $16 each or something, which to me is the appropriate amount.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it starts going above $20. I start thinking I'm getting ripped off here.
Yeah, it's a piece of fabric.
But no, I don't give them, I just think of that one and this one. You know, I just try and, sometimes I try and match the color to something else. But sometimes like, you know, today I'm wearing mostly dark, so I have a red one. Just because it's kind of fun.
Are they arranged by color? Yeah, we like it when you do.
We like the pop of color.
They were arranged by color, but then quickly, like, they start getting messed up. And, like, I come back from a trip and I just dump the ones I had. I just try and not use the – I try and not to repeat them in the same story. That's the only thing I try and do. So if I've used one a lot,
I haven't seen a repeat.
I have not noticed a repeat. Yeah. Really quickly, you have tweeted your support of dogs in favor of cats.
Yes.
Have you had to defend that decision? No, have you gotten any hate?
I don't think so. But there's certainly a lot of – Certainly a lot of cat lovers.
Katie is judging you silently right now.
Among the Dateline audience. But yeah, I was allergic to cats growing up.
Oh, that's fair.
And now I just despise them.
That's fair, too.
And I have tried to, you know, become more tolerant of people who have cats. Women who have cats. Guys who have cats. I'm sorry. Sorry. That's just not. Yeah. I can't. You're beyond hope.
Our sound guy, Noah, is so, don't ask how many cats Katie has.
Well, yeah.
But, come on. It's just a thing.
There was a Twitter game that said your rap name is Young plus something you always carry with you no matter where you go. And you tweeted Young photo of Keith. Do you care to change your answer or do you want to stick with that answer?
It's really good. It's strong.
It's a good answer.
I'll stick with that one.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
I forgot about that.
Which actually takes us into asking some questions about you and your hosts.
Okay.
So what we wanted to do is very quickly, a host most likely from a yearbook, say a high school yearbook.
Right.
So we'll give you a personality or a, what's it called, superlative?
Yes.
And then you can tell us who you think fits that best. So our first one obviously is class clown.
That's me.
Yeah.
Best Good. Hair.
It's got to be Keith.
Not Andrea.
I know, but it's got to be Keith. I mean, come on. Everything about Keith, it's like Keith was like genetically engineered for the job that he has.
No, he absolutely
like
is.
The way he looks and the hair
whole thing.
And wearing the sneakers and, you know, dressing all in black and leaning on things and that voice. I mean, the question I get asked most often by people in airports and stuff, is Keith really like that? Or is that some personality that he puts on for Dateline? And of course, that's exactly how he is.
I love it.
He is really like
that. Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Except he's very shy.
Yeah, and we noticed that at Crime Con.
Which, of course, the thing I enjoyed most about Crime Con was torturing Keith.
Yeah.
It was really.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we'll come back to the superlatives, but we did want to ask you about your relationship with Keith, if it was more of a bromance or frenemies, because you guys do seem to tease each other a lot
in
public.
Well, we do, but we're definitely not. I mean, like, he's phenomenally talented, and he's also, like, he's one of the nicest guys that
really?
I've ever met. He's like, he's a sweetheart. Everybody at Dateline loves working with him. I've never seen him get angry. You know, there are a few people in broadcasting, in the news business, I'll just say that, in the news business, about whom you never hear a bad word from them and you never hear a bad word about them. Keith, definitely one of those people. Parenthetically, I'm not one of those people. but Keith definitely is someone that widely loved by the people that we all work with.
That's a nice compliment.
Yeah, no,
that's
he's
really nice.
You can usually tell because, like, you know, like if the crews and the editors and the assistant producers think you're a jerk, usually manifests itself in some way. Keith is widely adored.
Would you say he is voted best all around?
Oh yeah, no question.
Okay, life of the party.
I'm not a big partier. I don't know who that would be. I don't know who that is. Oh, Lester, because Lester's a...
Oh,
there we go.
Lester, plays a musical instrument, unlike the rest of us. Well,
what is Lester?
Oh, yeah, they have that...
He's in a band,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they have a band that alternatively was called either the 30 Rockers or the Rough Cuts. I can't remember what it's called.
Called the 30 Rockers.
At the moment. Yes. One of those two. And he plays bass, and other people from Dateline play other instruments, and yeah.
Yeah, well, that is funny.
And sometimes, like at the Christmas party or other get-togethers, they all get together and play. They're pretty good.
That's really.
Yeah.
That's good. Do they cover? They do covers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. Yeah. I'm so excited. All right, then we have best dancer.
I don't think we dance.
No one dances.
Not that I know of.
We're trying.
But that's gonna be Andrea. She's by far the most graceful.
She is. Most likely to drop your phone in the toilet.
It's probably me.
Biggest prankster.
Oh, that's clearly me.
It is. And what is the best? Oh, wait, no, this is a great one.
Most likely to survive the Hunger Games.
Dennis.
Oh,
you think so?
Dennis.
Wow, because he's scrappy.
Because he's
resourceful.
Dennis is a pro's pro.
Really?
Yeah.
He's one of those kind. Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a read on Dennis. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, Dennis probably has less of his personality showing through in Dateline than the rest of us.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, you can sort of guess what I'm like, you know, from watching an episode of Dateline, and ditto Andrea and I, ditto Keith. And Dennis is, plays everything much more. Dennis is much more sort of the sort of traditional model of a reporter, which you know works hard, writes, and you know Dennis's stories are about the story; they're not about Dennis.
We used to say Andrea has her thing, and this is Josh's thing, and Keith does his leaning, and then what does Dennis do? And we said we couldn't figure out what Dennis does, and finally Katie just said Dennis doesn't need a thing.
No.
Dennis is enough.
No, Dennis
is enough.
Dennis is a terrific writer and a great interviewer. And I'm sure you heard Bill Hader's imitation.
Yes, of
right?
course.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Until I saw that thing, I would have told you that Dennis couldn't be imitated. But Hader, of course, did a perfect job.
Yeah, really. Yeah, absolutely.
He's brilliant.
And also, but it was fun because when we saw Dennis in real life, he was so different than what I imagined.
Yes.
Really?
Was
yeah.
sort of, he's
he was,
sort of in
he
this
smiles
cowboy
like a little
shirt
boy.
And just... Yeah. Just a lot, very loose. He seemed, you know, it was very different than what I expected from him.
He's a very good guy, and he's a terrific reporter.
Yeah,
we
he
love
is,
him.
But he is an enigma to me still.
Yes, he is,
and I don't mind saying it.
So, just okay, really briefly. I don't know if we're okay. We've talked a lot, and I've heard you talk about trying to hide the fact if someone's in jail or not.
Yes.
So we've talked. I came up with an idea. She thinks it's dumb. Something like a floating head, and you blur out everything around them except for their head.
No, it's more like a silhouette. So all you see is everything's in black, and it's a black turtleneck, and you just see
like
this
the
sort
actor
of dramatic
studio.
Face. This is Kimberly's big idea for just
well, okay,
ultimately
the reveals.
First of
all, you'd have
reveals.
To get the person to go along with this.
Right. No, that's true.
I mean, I guess maybe you could do it after the fact in post-production, I guess, maybe. There's a limit to what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, to how we're going to disguise that. I mean...
But you know people online are guessing the whole time.
Oh, sure.
They're analyzing every thread of his shirt.
Sure.
If that's a prison shirt or not.
How it's framed. I mean,
and who was it that had the good one, the reveal, the one?
Well, you had the one guy, Conrad, who came in
Conrad,
in a white shirt.
And,
I said to him, he came in wearing a long-sleeved white thermal T-shirt.
Yeah.
And he said, and he had been arrested for killing his wife, tried, convicted, gotten a new trial, tried again, this time found innocent and was now out.
Mm-hmm.
And
I still think he had something to do with it.
I think they were both colossally...
I think they were fighting
with
the gun.
They were both colossally drunk.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's a great reason why you shouldn't get drunk with a gun in the house.
There we go.
But, and he was now out. And he came in wearing the shirt and he said... this is what they had us wear. We always wanted these in prison because it's really cold in there, and they used keeping it cold as a way of keeping you quiet. You don't want to move around too much. He said, so everybody wore this. And I said, you're just going to wear that? And he's like, look, this is Dateline. I know what you're doing here. You know, he's like, I've seen this before. I'm like, oh, good, okay.
So
then we interviewed him with his
thermal,
with his thermal shirt on in front of a brick wall. And he looked like he was incarcerated.
Oh, he absolutely did.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you have any tips for people to not get caught doing a murder? I saw you say...
Don't commit a murder.
Okay, that's good.
That'd be first.
I did see you say on TV once to give your cell phone to someone else. I thought that was very smart.
That was when I was ambushed by TMZ.
I know.
You were ambushed?
Yes, I was.
You handled it so well.
Yeah, I was. My wife and I were going to a restaurant, and on the way in, there's a TMZ photographer at the curb. He goes, can I talk to you when you come out? And I'm thinking like, wow, this must be a slow night. You want to talk to me, right? Right? No actual celebrity. And then I come out and he starts asking me questions. He's like, so what's the best way to kill your wife?
Oh, stop it.
I'd been married like 5 months at that point. She's like, yes, honey, what is the best way?
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you have to give your cell phone to somebody else because police are now... tracking that, but I think a lot of bad guys have sort of figured out that the cell phone is a... You know, what people don't realize is that turning off your cell phone for like 3 hours right. during the time that it takes you to commit the murder and dispose of the body mm-hmm. is also suspicious.
So suspicious.
If that's the only time you've ever turned off your cell phone in the middle of the day.
It usually seems to be people that are addicted to their cell phone. So it'll be like 100 tweets that morning leading up and then zero during the time of the murder.
Exactly.
So
but that's not suspicious at all.
The answer is somewhere in between, but I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Well, we've often pondered that someone will get a burner phone and then text it to a registered cell phone number or call a registered cell phone number. So we think that burner phones should be sold in packs of two so that you stay off the grid that way.
That would be the only way.
Wow. Good idea, right?
You're on a $1 million idea here.
I think so too.
Yeah, the murderer's choice. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Horrible.
And then our last idea was, or my idea really is, you tell everyone around you that you've changed your life support or canceled it, even if you haven't. So then that takes away a big motive.
Change your life insurance?
Yeah.
Your life insurance.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
You mean just constantly be announcing.
Announcing. I've given it all to charity.
Right. Well, that could do it. That could do it. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Paul and Linda Curry in Orange County. She was mysteriously sick for a long time. And he was taking care of her and drawing her a bath every night and cooking her gourmet meals. And then she didn't get any better. And then she nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. And her friends said to her, "This is Paul. Paul is trying to kill you. Paul is poisoning you." And she was like, "Oh no, Paul would never do that." Then two things happened. She changed her life insurance so that her sister was now the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't change your life insurance on a whim. I mean, that takes a lot of phone calls
right.
and signing some things, maybe getting some stuff notarized. You're not doing that like withdrawing money from an ATM.
But she didn't tell Paul.
She did not tell him. She could not bring herself to tell him that she had cut him out of the life insurance. She just couldn't do it because she'd been married, I think, twice before.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want
to. Oh, I do know this.
Yeah. And she didn't want to be divorced again, despite the fact that she had a six-figure job.
Yeah, she was very successful.
And a car and a dozen friends who would have taken her in for a year, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, this was not some woman who was, like, trapped with mm-hmm. this abuser.
Yeah.
She could have left, but she couldn't bring herself to end another marriage.
To have a failed marriage.
She stuck around, and he killed her. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave her,
she didn't tell him. She should have told him.
He gave her nicotine. And then after.
Oh, that's right. It was nicotine.
Yeah, she had more nicotine in her than if she'd been a heavy smoker and she wasn't a smoker. And then after she died, he's on the phone with the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "I'm sorry, what? What do you mean she changed it?
Killed her for nothing."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you gotta speak up.
He got some money. He got like a 401k and some other stuff, but he didn't get the insurance money.
It used to all be about wills. I remember you'd get like your old grandpa's will and all the relatives were fighting, but it's all about the life insurance now.
That's right. I guess that's right. Yeah.
That's the new thing. It's on our bingo cards.
Yeah. When I got married a couple of years ago and after I, you know, signed up to get my wife on my, you know, NBC benefits and all the stuff you do after you get married,
sure.
you know, one of which is the company life insurance policy. I was like, "Okay, honey, well, I mean, I know how this works. You should probably pick up some antifreeze on the way home."
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Thank
Yay,
you.
Thank you so much
thanks,
for coming.
Thanks so much for listening to everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Well, and all your fans out there, all your listeners, thank you all so much because you're all making it possible for us to continue doing this. And we really appreciate the loyalty and we appreciate you sticking with us on social and listening to all the podcasts. And Dateline will be on this Friday, whenever it is that this runs. So, don't
what's
watch
with
a
the
lot.
Monday? Oh, that was so good. I cut over
no,
it.
No, no,
do it again.
Wait, do it
I'm
again.
Sorry.
We're
I totally.
Again.
I was like, well, I want to ask if there's Monday episodes now, and it's throwing Sundays, everyone off.
Our Sundays became Mondays.
Yeah. Is that permanent?
It's permanent for the rest of this season.
Okay.
I mean, we're always on Fridays, and then usually Saturdays are almost always repeats. I think they are always repeats.
Yeah.
And it also depends on where you live in the country because sometimes they run Saturday Night Live out here, which means that our Dateline gets moved sometimes, or the repeat is only shown in part of the country. That's a new thing. But we had Sundays at 7 when there's no NFL football. When the NFL comes back, Sunday nights will go back to being football, and we'll only be on
sports
Fridays. But
sports.
But the Sundays, which were at 7, have now moved to Mondays at 10, at least, I think, for the rest of July and August.
Well, we're sticking with it wherever it goes.
Good, thank
and
you.
Can we get a Don't Watch Alone that I won't step over?
Don't watch alone.
So good. You guys, it's even better in person. I got goosebumps. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.